Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to your bona fide favourite pop culture podcast. You're joined with Lucy, husky voiced Lucy today.
Why the husky voice? Lucy said Belle.
I think you all have been listening long enough to know that whenever I drink alcohol, I lose my voice. And we've talked about this before because as a singer in our band and as a podcaster, it's really not a good trait. And just know, everyone, this wasn't because I was even smoking ciggies or anything. This is just alcohol. I think I have nodes.
Just I've got glandular fever.
No, but I will say.
What were you sipping on? A few white wine spritzes.
Okay, no. So this is kind of what describes my week as well, so we'll just get right into it. I was sipping on, first of all, beer at quiz.
Yeah.
Then we won the quiz, everyone.
Stop.
I've never won a quiz in my life.
Bloody up. What?
And we're like a bunch of Gen Zs and one 49-year-old.
What?
Yeah.
What did you win? A meat pack?
No, so we won. You win a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And you win a round of shots. And I think the shots were like tequila sunrise or something, which was yum. So at that point, I'd had beer, wine, tequila.
Okay.
Then we went out to celebrate the win.
Because as you should, as you shall.
We have never won a quiz. And it's like not normal for the group of young people at the quiz to win the quiz.
Yeah, because the questions are always like, yeah. In the 1987 Winter Olympics in Helsinki, you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah,
like,
I don't fucking know. Yeah. I'm going to lose the quiz.
What was your winning question answer? Like, did you have a like moment?
There was one and it was like, all about confectionery, but they were sort of like riddles, and it was, the answer was Reese's Peanut Buttercup, and the question was like, I can't even remember what the first word was, but it was like something nuts and weed or something weird, okay. And you had to like jumble it up. And
anyway, so it was slam poetry.
Anyway, then we left. We went to this Irish pub that one of the guys works at, and then
a real Portuguese experience.
And then, like, one of the guys that was in our team bought me this fucking Irish beer, which wasn't Guinness, but it was really dark and it was disgusting.
Disgusting.
And then,
can you speak in an Irish accent?
It was fucking wanious. No. And then there was Zambuca shots.
Whoa.
And I had one. I was like, I love this. And because the guy that worked there just got given them. So then I had the people that didn't want the Zambuca shots.
Stop.
And so then,
you had like a full kind of like charcuterie board of,
no,
of alcohol.
And I felt it this morning. And like, I woke up and people have posted videos on Instagram. I'm like singing Wagon Wheel.
You were not. Yeah, we can't do this podcast. You're a Wagon Wheel girlie.
Well, it just was, it just came on.
As I live and
there
breathe.
There was a live band, obviously related. And
did you get up and sing?
No. But there's videos of me. There's like my head and then another girl's head above and then a taller girl's head above, and we're screaming Bohemian Rhapsody. And I'm like, I don't really remember some of this happening. And
are you all good to be saying this on mic? Hey, hun, you're good.
Hey, are you unhinging? No, and then, like, there's nothing worse. We know I get anxiety than waking up and seeing videos.
Being tagged? Mm. Oh, yeah. I hate it so much. The kind of good thing about being overseas and being tagged.
No one fucking knows you.
Yeah, you're all kind of all good. Everyone's like, oh, who's that unhinged lady in the background?
Yeah, no, front and fucking centre.
Fucking, oh my God, centre stage over here.
She was centre stage. And then,
did you get the band, did you ask the band if they played, like, Sabotage by Beastie Boys?
No, but Heart of Glass did get played.
No.
Yep. We did it better.
Naturally.
Obviously.
Because we won, but we won't go into that.
And if you're lost on that story, just go and listen to the whole year's worth of podcasts before this. And then I woke up and I'd sent like unhinged voice messages to Ruby.
No.
Videos to my family.
To your family.
Like terrible kind of just, oh, why do I do that every time?
I love that. Okay, this is where we're really similar. Our love language is content.
Yep.
But I love, it's probably because I love receiving it as well. Like a kind of almost Shakespearean soliloquy, like drunk WhatsApp voice message. It's my it's my love language. Yeah. And
me and Ruby were doing it over Slack.
I did see you send a Slack at like 2:13 a.m. and I was like, she's a committed girl.
She's on Slack at the function. No, it was like, and one of the responses Ruby sent me was like, that's okay, you can deal with that in therapy or something. I must have just been unraveling.
Oh my God. Can you show me them after this?
No, absolutely not. They are to live in Ruby and I's Slack messages. So anyway, what describes my week is winning the quiz and being the most hungover today that maybe I've ever been.
Really?
I've had the type of day where you feel like the worst person in the world, so lazy, so ugly, so disgusting. You know, when you just have those days.
Honestly, you have ship-shined up.
Yeah, I had
the hell out of that.
I put on makeup to come to a podcast because I felt and looked disgusting.
You're wearing a necklace. You're wearing a statement resin necklace.
And two rings.
God.
To make me feel something.
God is real and she's sitting opposite me. That's incredible. I will also say that mine and Lucy's like guilty pleasure here is this. Chocolate mousses you can buy from the mini presso, and they're like €1. And if we're ever having a bad day, they're just like, one will just be slid across the table, like slid into your room and then the door shut, or like slid into your shelf on the fridge. And
there are two on the desk. Yeah, on the podcast studio desk, I had picked up a bottle of red, some Pringles, and two chocolate mousses, and had to ask the cafe outside the podcast studio if I could please borrow some spoons.
No!
But I did bring a bottle opener for the wine.
You bought it from BYO.
BYO. Fuck,
that's good. Opener. She's a thinker. I do just like breaking down any conception, like misconceptions that like you're
not
a chic woman. It's like, oh no, full rat.
Full rat. And today I was so unproductive, and there's nothing that makes me feel worse about myself.
Being unproductive. Yeah.
I can't go easy on myself, but I still can't do the work.
We're so similar. Yeah, and so you're just like stuck in this awful limbo.
Yeah, I'm like scrolling for days.
No. Anyway. Honestly, you have like really polished up fine. In my darkest days of hangovers, I am not wearing a statement pink jumper and in a costume jewelry.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It took everything. What describes your week, Dahl?
Well, I don't want to like carry on an emo theme. And I was gonna say something else, and then like this thing happened to me just before I got here. Why am I laughing?
Because if we didn't, we'd do what you did before we went on mic.
No, don't bring it up.
Ruby, cut that out.
Disgusting habit of yours. Yeah. So years ago, and by that I mean maybe sometime last year, I would have written a chime about like favorite words, and one of them was being lemonade. And it's a word that I love to use when you've had a series of unfortunate events. And if you don't get the reference, it's referring to the Lemony Snicket books, which was based on a family of three orphan children who something bad just keeps continually happens.
So I don't know why I'm laughing.
This is people like, what is your fucking podcast episode about today?
Oh, true.
Okay, I'm gonna. Okay.
They don't need to know because I've done a really descriptive title for this.
Week's. Great. And so, you can just zip zap through this prelude if you're not interested in knowing what lemonade is, but I think you should use it because it's so good. It's basically when you have like a string of bad things happen to you like in a day or a week. One day is worse because it's like way more dramatic. Anyway, I've had like just like a few crazy things happen to me today. Someone yelled at me in my office space. and I hadn't done anything wrong. I'd been scammed. And then I have been trying to buy this camera as a Christmas present to myself. And I saw it last week and I went into the camera shop and she was like, I saw this 15 minutes ago. And I just burst into tears.
Because it's not like an off-the-shelf camera that you buy. It's like one she had to hunt down.
And it makes me sound like rich and pretentious, which is really not the vibe. But I had been in there the week previous and I'd seen it and I didn't have enough money then to buy it. Anyway, it was so funny but really cute because the lady, her name's Diana and I was calling her Lady Di, just like, it was so embarrassing, but she gave me this big hug and like this bowl of water and was like giving me all these Portuguese proverbs about like when bad things eventually end. And the shop front is like very on the street. So there were people walking past just watching this like wet rat like crying sobbing in this camera store over not being able to buy this camera.
No, but it is very like, you know, when you get to those points where you just can't hold it in any longer.
It was,
and
the
it's freeing.
Most random, like so many like challenging things are happening at the moment, and the fact that it like came to a camera is so not usually my vibe, and I just
laughed. No, you have to laugh.
It was really cute. She didn't let me leave until I had like stopped crying, and it was one of those things where like you're fine, but the tears just won't stop.
Yeah.
Anyway, so lemonade.
So lemonade
is just the word of my week, but I'm all good. I'm all good, eh?
But I'm all good.
Like,
actually,
no worries,
everyone.
If not.
Don't reach out because I'm fine.
This is not a cry for help. No. And everything will change. But I think what I'm gifting to you with that story is using the word lemonade and being able to laugh about it. And here we are.
So today we've got a fucking good episode, mostly, once again, thanks to Ruby for her energy in the Should We Cares. We're talking about Billie Eilish versus Variety, Taylor Swift versus Des Moines, Emrata versus Body Positivity, and then we're talking about what is up with all these gift guides. Like, okay, gift guides, are they stripping us of individuality, of individual thought? What's the point of a gift if you're just choosing from a list of things that are like the perfect gift for your partner under $50? Like, what's the point of a gift? Are there good points to gift guides? Maybe. We're going to figure that out.
Strap in and find out.
Strap in, but first.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Billie Eilish accuses Variety of outing her on the red carpet. Belle, did you see anything about this when it was erupting online?
I love that you ask me that. You have to do a quick check, like the resident aging millennial in the room. So I've just been onboarded onto TikTok. I actually did. I love watching Billie Eilish from afar because I just... So I'm fascinated by her fashion and obviously her, she's like so amazing in what she does. But and I saw this and I just thought it was such a fascinating kind of tension of media and publicity and celebrity all in one. So unpack it for me, please.
So in November, I think a lot of you would have seen this because it went very viral. Billie did a cover story with Variety and she spoke about being attracted to women. So she said, I've never really felt like I could relate to girls very well. I love them so much. I love them as people. I'm attracted to them as people. I'm attracted to them for real. I have deep connections with women in my life, the friends in my life, the family in my life. I'm physically attracted to them, but I'm also so intimidated by them and their beauty and their presence. And then a lot of people took this as, oh, she said she's attracted to women. Also, it's like, are we really not past the point where like, someone's, I thought everyone was basically bisexual these days. I'm like, are we really Is that really news? Is that really news? It was to some people. And then over the weekend, Billy attended Variety's Hitmaker Awards, and she accepted the award for Film Song of the Year for What Was I Made For? From Barbie, obviously. And when she was on the red carpet, an interviewer asked her if she had meant to come out in that Variety interviewer, which is a totally loaded question to be asking, like, on camera to someone on a red carpet. And Billy said, no, I didn't mean to come out. But wasn't it obvious? I didn't realise people still didn't know. And then she went on to say that she doesn't really believe in coming out, adding, why can't we just exist? And then...
Great song title there.
What?
Why can't we just exist?
Oh, great metaphor for life. Not even a metaphor. Great question for life. And then after that interview, Billy posted on Instagram, thanks Variety for my award and for also outing me on a red carpet at 11 a.m. instead of talking about anything else that matters. I like boys and girls. Leave me alone about it. Please, literally, who cares? Stream What Was I Made For? And so I love
that. That's so fucking good.
I love that she said, please, literally, who cares? And it's so interesting because on one hand, like normalizing or making other young people feel comfortable to do this has so often relied on famous people doing it first. So a lot of people would care and a lot of people would feel so seen. But then also, we cannot constantly be expecting these celebrities to lay their entire selves out on a silver platter for us and, like, forcing them to be sort of the trailblazers in everything. Like, she's a musician. Do we actually have to beg her to, like, give us more than that? Does she owe us more than that? Something we always talk about on here. I think this was a misstep by the interviewer. Like,
totally. It reads to me as though they were hunting down a viral TikTok moment.
And they got it.
And they got it, but at what expense? And I think this is actually a really interesting reflection of, like, how has the hunt and this, like, insatiable need to go viral actually shaped or changed the way we report on pop culture, media, news, everything, but particularly pop culture. It's like...
That's so interesting because we know exactly how it's happened with news. Yeah. That's how we got clickbait.
Yeah.
It's how we got, like, 24-hour news cycles where the stories were written so shit so they could be first.
Journalism.
But when it comes to pop culture, now that with TikTok in the mix...
Yeah.
It is all about you get 30 seconds with a celebrity and now it's almost like, what is my gotcha moment? It's like paparazzi.
It really is. And I think as well, and it's really interesting because I see this sometimes as a writer, but I watch it a lot in terms of watching celebrities and pop culture, which is we just need people to identify as something because we see them now as brands. So it's like, what's the one thing you are? Are you a queer musician? Are you a cottagecore girly? Like, what's the adjective that comes before what describes you?
Yeah.
And it's so kind of bleak because it just collapses people into these two-dimensional things. And that's exactly what I think has happened here.
I 100% agree. And it, like, it brings you back to, like, Kit Connor having to tweet his sexuality so that people would stop coming for him for playing a bisexual character in Heartstopper. And it's things like these are young people. They do not get the privilege of figuring themselves out just because they're a really good actor or a really good musician.
Yeah.
Like, in what world is that normal?
Yeah.
And so I think, I honestly, good on Billy for... like, for posting about it.
Absolute, like, perfection in the copywriting, perfection in the total handling and attitude of it all, which is just, like, I think there's something so chic about someone who's able to point something out without being enraged or, like, making it as though they're on a political tirade, but just to be like, crazy.
And
why
also,
can't I just simply be alive?
Also, women, like, have to do that because if they put in any loaded language, it's like, oh, she's just angry and crazy. And Billy just being like, literally, who cares? Like, she knows it's important. She's obviously part of that community.
Yeah.
She's not saying who cares about, like, how important it is to fucking come out when you're ready, et cetera, et cetera. She's saying, who cares about me on the Variety red carpet being, like, ambushed like this?
There's also
listen to my song.
There's also this interesting element of women who don't dress traditionally extremely feminine. Obviously, Billie does, but I would say like her signature look is like
yeah.
hoodies, yeah. like oversized like hockey player tees, yeah. baggy jeans. And so immediately questioning sexuality comes into the mix a lot faster than I think like traditional, very feminine, like presenting celebrities. And that's something that's really interesting, like as part of this discussion as well.
Yeah, it actually is. And because
it's like, why are you wearing a hoodie? It's like,
because I fucking want to.
Because I exist. Yeah. Like, are we all good? Can we move on? That? Listen to my song.
So I do care about this story. Do you care about this story?
Now we talk about it in this deep way. Like originally I was like, oh, just whatever. And then I thought about it. And then I thought about this very discussion. And I think it's so interesting. And I think she's so cool. Yeah. So yes, I do. Two ticks.
Speaking of fashion and people being questioned for what they're wearing.
Great segue.
We have one Emrata, Emily Ratajkowski, being called out for being fatphobic for her recent Instagram posts. So anyone that didn't come across the recent carousel of photos that Emrata just posted.
Do you follow her?
No.
Yeah.
I try to curate the people I follow so that I see people that are going to make me feel good about me.
100%.
Or that I'm going to be like, I can draw some type of inspiration from that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm like, what's the point of just following random celebrities? Like, no offense to her.
No, do your thing. But like extremely hot people doing extremely unrelatable things is like.
I think it's just one of your little bits of control you can have on the internet.
Agreed.
Is to curate that experience.
But also, no shade if you do follow her.
No way. Yeah. God, no. She posed for French magazine. Belle, maybe you can pronounce this because you've got a bit of French. Le magazine.
Le magazine.
Yeah, there we go. And in the second image of these photos that she posted on a carousel, Emrata is standing in like this pair of jeans that are like comically way too big for her, like the Subway ad with that guy that would be like, I lost all this weight from eating Subway.
That's all I could see. Yep. Jared from Subway.
And also, didn't Jared then be like done for sexual harassment?
Oh my God. Probably like wouldn't be surprised.
Allegations of Jared Fogle having inappropriate relationships with minors began in 2007 but did not gain traction until 2015 when the FBI uncovered that he received child pornography from an associate, pleading guilty to the child sex tourism and child pornography charges the same year. He was sentenced to 15 years and 8 months in federal prison. There you go.
This is like when you asked me in a recent episode, maybe it was last week, is there a straight male comedian that hasn't been embroiled in a
Yes.
Is there a straight, like, famous ad character that hasn't been embroiled in sexual misconduct?
Literally.
Ah.
Riddle me that.
Riddle me that.
Anyway, so back to the photo of Emrata in the huge jeans. She was essentially showing how tiny she was in these jeans. And commenters
went to town.
We know what a comment section can be like all too well, but kind of rightly so, these comments went crazy. A comment with 18,000 likes said, writing a book centered on body image and then doing that second photo is crazy. And this was actually one of the points that a lot of people who had obviously invested money in buying her book, so they're like not only invested in her online and following her, but they'd also like physically invested in her and got so much out of her book because it was a really well-received book. Mm. They, rightly so, felt like, this isn't really aligning with that thing that you poured your heart and soul into. Anyway, another comment made the observation, designers won't make plus sizes unless it's for a photo op where a thin person can be quirky. Oh. I think that is a really good comment and actually a really good point. It's like you see so many women, not even women that I wouldn't even consider to be plus size, coming on the internet or saying in their memoirs, like, when I wanted to dress for this red carpet or this event or whatever, they only had the, like, what's it called, sample size. Yeah. Outfits, and I would have to get special treatment just to get something that fit me.
Yeah.
And
God, it's like, aren't we so far beyond that? It's astonishing when you have these moments that really crystallize, like, actually how we haven't actually made that much progress. Like, we think we have because of general vibes, whatever. It's an extremely simplified way to say it. And then you have these stories like this and you're like, why is there still a sample size?
Yeah, exactly. And it's that the trend right now is really like baggy, oversized, like
skater.
Yeah, like buy 90s. The big jeans, whack on a belt, tiny top, whatever. And when we go through trends like this, it means that the people that actually need these clothes to fit them, because there's already such a limited section in normal stores for plus size people or in thrift shops, they're getting all taken by people that are getting in on the trends. And then plus size people once again are being like, well, where the fuck can I shop? What can I buy? So anyway, this was just really interesting because it's so not 2023. It does not feel very 2023. The post is still up. The comments are still on. The backlash is still like front and center, but it's really interesting that it's still up there.
I know. Like, I thought about this, and is it, would it have been bad if they took it down? Like, or leave it up, but, or and publish an apology?
I think leaving it up, turning off the comments and making an apology, if she was like
genuinely
legally, one, legally had to keep it up for brand purposes or something.
Yeah.
And only if she genuinely was like, fuck, that was a misstep, wasn't it? And then post an excerpt from her book with what she actually thinks and feels. And obviously she sat with whatever she wrote deeply for a long time. I think that's a way through it.
I really do. And it's funny, right? Because it makes you just think, like, if you so fully believed in what you were writing, if body image was so front and center in your experience of the world and something you felt really passionate about, how was that not crossing your mind when the stylist and the photographer of the shoot was like, yeah, so crazy you're in Jared from Subway's jeans?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, and so that unearths like a little bit of skepticism around like how genuine was this book. And she's touted as one of the most beautiful women in the world, and she has such a like a...
She made out with Harry Styles.
As we live and breathe. You know, stereotypically tiny...
Yes. Victoria's Secret frame.
Yes. And so that's what it brings up for me. It's like, what's the misstep here? Is the book a lie? Or were you kind of like pressured into doing that shoot? Or did you just kind of have no idea?
And I feel like that's always the question that we come back to whenever anything like this happens, is just how did this get the green light when it goes through so many checks and balances?
Yeah. But also, like, at the very end of the day, it's a moral compass thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, Lewis, you set this all the time. I'm always watching you. I'm always watching you like a hawk, especially when you drink too much. No. But it's how you center your whole life, and it's so admirable to watch. And I just think if something's so integral to who you are,
yes,
standing in a photography studio in that setup must have felt fucking uncomfortable.
I know. So that's, I actually think, I didn't really care about this at the start because as I said before, I don't follow her because we get to choose our media digest, our social media diet, if we want to call it that, which is a very punny sort of way of...
It's really like male journalists in 2007.
Yeah. But I do care because it's like... The book stuff, I didn't realize how many people had obviously read the book and taken so strongly to the body image part of it. And I think they're right in feeling a little bit confused by it all.
Yeah. And she's not come out and said anything, right?
Not,
there's been no like kind of heartfelt piece to care.
No. And our third and final, should we care, Demois and Taylor Swift's publicist are feuding. Have you seen any of this going on?
Yes, I have. Because you're shocked.
I know.
I love impressing you.
Yeah,
and I love
impressed.
Impressing the listeners.
Yep.
Yes, because Tree Payne is like, tell me a more impeccable publicist. Like
Tree Payne, Taylor Swift's publicist, for anyone wondering. Like, she is like the Kris Jenner of publicists.
Yeah.
She slays. So she's like this mythical legend. And everyone who's a Swiftie, like deep in Swiftie lore, knows of Tree Pain. She basically is the mastermind behind everything.
And she has a really mysterious
yes.
online presence, which I love.
Even like, is Tree Pain her real name?
Yeah. Dad,
the reason that this has gone viral is because Tree Pain doesn't often personally clap back to people. That's just not her job.
Sorry, why do I keep thinking you're saying T?
I know. That's why I'm like, this can't be a real name.
Tree
Pain. She doesn't often take it upon herself to like clap back to rumors. Otherwise, that would be her whole job. She's more like puppeteering this whole like Taylor Swift brand image. But recently, Demois being the anonymous Instagram account that is a gossip account and people either love or hate. Demois had been posting to her Instagram account, and has been for a while, rumours that Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn had secretly gotten married a couple of years back. Demois said to this rumour, she did have a ceremony in either 2020 or 2021 in the UK, and it was described to me as a marriage by more than one person. It was never made legal. I'm sorry she didn't tell you guys about it in a song, but just because she doesn't sing about something doesn't mean it didn't happen. And in my head, I'm like, how the fuck do you know this? Or who are you believing? Obviously, she's got insiders, people that she trusts, maybe people that she shouldn't trust.
Detectives everywhere.
And this was the straw that broke the camel's back with Tree Pain, who shared this screenshot to her Twitter account saying, enough is enough with these fabricated lies about Taylor from Demois. There was never a marriage or ceremony of any kind. This is an insane thing to post. It's time for you to be held accountable for the pain and trauma you cause with posts like these. And in response, Demois jumped in and said, well, I make $0 from lying. Can publicists say the same?
Whoa.
Yeah. And then went on to say she apologizes to Taylor. But I have seen people saying that the way that Tree Pain tweeted about this, using the words pain and trauma, might be like from a legal standpoint to prove that it's causing some kind of harm to Taylor so they can like take Demois to court.
Oh my God, this has suddenly turned so American.
I know. And look, I'm not sure if that's the case, but also it wouldn't surprise me if like Demois, who's constantly posting things about lots of celebrities, and obviously has checks and balances because they still exist.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Tree Pain, if they wanted to like take down Demois. But anyway, just seems like a weird, like why this rumor of all the rumors? Like there's a lot going on.
You have like one of the women who is like basically holding up the global economy by touring.
Yeah.
And the thing that is like supposedly is like taking fire on in the media is like, oh, she had this kind of party, I guess, a couple of years ago with her ex-boyfriend that no one's really heard from lately. And she's like all good now and super happy, but maybe this happened.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy.
The only thing, and this is not fact checked, obviously do not take this as fact, is that maybe there's an engagement with Travis Kelce like in the works, or they're prepping for if her and Travis Kelce do get engaged, that like the fucking SEO and shit isn't, when you type in Taylor Swift engaged or Taylor Swift married, it's not like Joe Alwyn.
The mastermindery of that. Two things. One, Taylor and Travis Kelce have been going out for like a blink.
I know. But we don't know when that started.
I know. But that's insane. Secondly, yeah. Question from Deirdre to the masses. Who has heard from Joe Alwyn lately?
I know. He what turned he up doing? At the GQ Men of the Year Awards.
Was he wearing like a kind of guts waistcoat or like something a bit devastating?
Yeah.
And everyone, a statement sock, a happy sock.
All the Swifties like online just joke about how he's broke all the time. Like the one joke is like Taylor was fucking bankrolling him. Like, to be fair, he is an actor, but he's not been in that much. I don't know why they really run with that. It's probably because there are rumors that he didn't love Taylor's success and that's why they broke up. And it's like, anyway.
That's a whole other TED
Talk. It's a whole nother TED Talk. Speaking of being broke, what's up with all these gift guides? We have.
Your segues hungover are not to be meddled with.
We have been talking, me and Belle, in our husband and wife relationship that we have,
about our work life,
about like the amount of gift guides that we are seeing coming through our inbox. Like, they're chic, they're curated, everyone seems to love them. Some of them are sustainable, some of them are just fucking affiliate links, and you can tell that people have just paid to have their products put in there. And we've just been kind of like, because I think both of us like giving gifts, or are like quite good gift givers.
Yeah,
I'd love to give a gift if it's to someone that I know quite well.
You're a really good gift giver.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
No,
so are you.
I can say this with evidence. With confidence.
Evidence-based. But I feel like the whole idea of giving a gift, this is not a hot take, is like, you know the person, you have to think about what they would like, and the monetary value is secondary, because the actual value is in the fact that you've had to think about this person and really consider what they like. And so when it comes to gift guides, I'm just like, sorry, are we all just going to be all owning the same print or candle or whatever? And someone will be like, oh, yeah, I saw that on X gift guide.
Diary, like, planner thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where do you sit with them?
Okay, well, if you don't read the newsie, which would be weird if you didn't, you'll know that I'm a super Grinch and I don't like Christmas. But I'm going to put that aside. But it's my precursor. Secondly, fully agree with you. Thirdly, like, I don't know, it just feels weird right now to be like pushing, buying heaps of stuff when we're in like a huge recession, massive cost of living crisis.
Yep.
Like, there's really important donation drives at the moment for like devastating, heartbreaking, really important stuff. And we're like, maybe this hair clip. And like, your girlfriend really wants one of those Aura rings that like tracks her heart rate throughout the day. And this is no shade if that's what you're into. Personally, I'm not. But it does freak me out that consumerism still seems to sort of like preside over everything, no matter what's happening in the world. And that freaks me out. So I went a little deeper in my investigative journalism. And this is informed because years ago, I dated someone who was not a good gift giver. I love gift giving. I sort of like foresaw this it being an issue. So I made, this sounds psycho, my own gift guide. And it was like sorted into price ranges. I had sizes. I had like links, affiliate links. No, I'm kidding. So because I'm like, you know, I can't expect like a boyfriend to know what size ring I am if I want like a cute, not and like engagement ring,
or if like, you're gonna spend the money anyway,
yeah, here's like three options, yeah,
and make it be on something that I'm actually gonna use, because that's least wasteful.
I can imagine, like, yeah, a guy walking into a store and being like, I don't know, she likes pink, fuck. So I feel like that was kind of reasonable, and then I look back and I'm like, warning, but anyway, useful. But I was thinking about what's the psychology of gifting, and like, how does all this work? And I found this New York Times article, and they were saying, like, gifts are an expression of feeling, and they say a thoughtful and generous gift can stir up all kinds of conscious and unconscious fears, longings, and desires. What does it mean to accept it? Do I now owe that person something? What does it mean for me going forward? Do I need to respond in kind? If I respond in kind, does it mean going to the next level? And so it's like these tiny things, but actually this huge expression of a lot of wider kind of like thoughts, feelings, and insecurities. And I just thought it was really interesting as we kind of head into this time, which is super expensive. A lot of people are struggling to make ends meet, and this pressure to like have the top 10 gifts for your partner who is a blah is just like, who's a Labrador, who's a like whatever kind of TikTok personality, just kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, It's very, like, we love to believe that we go on the internet to become more individual and to figure out who we are and to find these new rabbit holes. But kind of like I've written about with the what about me effect, actually the internet's just showing us, like, what we or what the algorithm thinks people very similar to us would like for Christmas in this instance. And it means that instead of becoming more individual online, we're actually all just, like, buying the same it calendar and the same it pen and the same it, and for some reason feeling really good about it. And
as though it's like a sign of like, I've arrived.
Yes.
Like, there's so much I can't control, but the one thing I can get is the it pen.
Yes. And I also, okay, so I think back to a few things you were saying earlier, like we are all people trying to live in this world. It's not, we can't expect that because there are bad things happening elsewhere that we cease to do these little things that make us feel good, like celebrate the holidays if that's for you and buy these gifts if that's for you. Like the world's, that's just not going to happen realistically. The world's not going to just be like, oh, fuck, cancel Christmas, donate to all these places.
Yeah, we know that.
No, we know that that's not what we're saying, but we are sort of, I think, like how you made the list of things that it was like, well, realistically, the world is not going to change.
Mm.
You're going to be buying gifts anyway.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, joined it in, let me tell you what I mean. No, let me tell you what you can get that is going to be like the least wasteful.
Yeah.
Like, let me give you a list. Like, I think it's almost cuter to make a gift guide for yourself. Like, to be like, these are the things I need that will make my life better. If you want to put on their places to donate or things like that.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things you can do for me.
Like a wedding gift registry.
A wedding fucking registry.
Okay, not to like totally full circle this and completely center myself in this narrative. But I think that's why I cried in the camera shop, because that was my Christmas gift to myself. Yeah. It's been a really hard year.
Yeah. And we all do things like that because we're all human.
I think especially for any listeners who fly solo, like, being single at Christmas can be really tricky if you go home and everyone's like coupled up, or if you're watching those like albums of like family Christmas being uploaded and you're like,
or you just are like at a family Christmas and you know that everyone else has gone halves on their gifts.
Yes.
Like, this is from me and mine.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, these are all just from me. So this has been double as expensive.
And what I'm doing is sending you my bank account and just drop a quick little sort of donation there to level the playing field. Is that I think it's really important to do something for yourself.
Yeah.
And otherwise you just end up with like a phone case that fits an Android when you've got an iPhone and like a candle that's like too sweet and is a weird hibiscus like mandarin blend,
or like something that you've seen on the gift guide that you know that that person read.
Yes.
That's what I think is happening. I'm like, I'm seeing these really it girl gift guides going viral and I'm like, yeah, but if someone bought me something from that, I've read it. Yeah. I know that they haven't thought about me. And maybe that's just because we put value into the thought rather than like, I don't care if I buy someone a gift, they don't buy me one back because I liked buying it.
Yeah.
And but for other people, like also people that don't have time in their days, people that are working really intense jobs, people like fucking nurses and doctors and shit, I'm like, you deserve a fucking gift guide because you are thinking about way harder things.
100%. And there is a counter argument to this, right, which is like, someone fucking curate things for me, and I'm going to use a Roman Empire Fleabag reference here, which is just like, tell me what to think, tell me what music to love, tell me what to wear, tell me how to act, tell me what haircut suits me. Just someone take this mental load off. And I do kind of see that, but it's also reflective of something kind of wider and more existential, perhaps.
Oh, just like everything else we see online.
Well.
Speaking of, I don't have a good segue for this, wider and existential. I'm like, what's on your radar? And I'm wondering if we have both of the exact same things on our radar.
It's going to be the same.
Okay.
So it's full hibernation season here. It's really cold.
Today is really cold. Like, not that it's interesting to you.
Yeah. It's like when someone talks about their holiday for like 27 minutes, you're like, cool, you went to Morocco, shut up.
It's like us photos with the band, dare I say. But we're hypocrites, you know this.
Yeah, we don't profess to be otherwise. Lucy and I have been watching Girls, rewatching Girls, and
rewatching Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
So we're really in our girl era.
Yeah, and we're calling it, it's part of book research.
And we're also reading I'm a Fan. We're both consuming the exact same shit. That's our book club book this week.
I'm a Fan month is so good. Okay, I'm just going to do a quick plug for that. I know we have to go. But if you are a kind of like modern girly, I mean, this like appeals to anyone, but particularly this is who I think this is perfect for. Anyone who's dated, anyone who's super online, anyone who has been jealous, anyone who has been maybe in a polyamorous relationship, anyone who's watched or taken part or been in some kind of sphere of an affair, anyone who loves acerbic, oh my god, that hits me in the teeth, kind of analysis of influencer culture, this book is so good. I can't put it down.
Okay, and so you're going to all read along with us for our book club for that, because that was a really good elevator pitch for the book, and I can't wait for us to sit down and talk about it. And all I have left to say is that we have to go
and sleep
and probably watch an episode of Gilmore Girls.
Sleep off this cursed lemony goddamn day.
Yes, and sleep off this hangover.
You've done so well on a simple Merlot.
Oh, you've done so well on a simple, huge, terrible day. Anyway,
today,
team,
we wish you good luck.
Good luck. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.